Kelly Clarkson here to let you know it's the holidays at Wayfair, and I'm so excited to share how you can add a little extra magic to your celebrations this season. I love this time of year, y'all. It's always filled with friends and family around the dinner table, holiday traditions, and my favorite, cozy time spent at home. Hosting is such a big thing during the holidays, and Wayfair has the perfect pieces to make your holiday celebrations even more festive and totally your style. To get the holiday Christmas spirit going at my house, we love watching some fun classic Christmas movies, baking in the kitchen together, having some holiday music on. It just makes everything more magical. One thing I love about Wayfair is they have so many options, because each year we like to do something a little different. Look, everyone knows no matter how much preparation you go in for Christmas time, it's so busy. So the free, easy delivery that Wayfair provides is something I really love. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to get your home holiday ready.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, while a home birth is still something of a novelty in Ireland, up until the 1940s, it was the norm. Equipped with their government-issued bicycles, community midwives operated all over the country. The Museum of Country Life in Mayo has a new exhibition telling the story of their work. Emma Laffey is the curator. Good afternoon, Emma.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And so when was the community midwife scheme brought in? Was it with the foundation of the state?
It was brought in, there was a Midwifery Act brought in 1918, which made it compulsory then, what would have been handy women prior to that, to be educated. And it was outlawed that you couldn't practice midwifery without your education. But it was really enforced in 1931. And you'll see a lot of that with our documents. You'll see them getting re-educated again around the 1930s. And so it was really enforced in 1931.
Yeah.
That they have to have their education.
And these would have been all over the country. Is there any, you know, is it possible to tell how extensive the country was covered with midwives? That sounds like they were throwing them out of planes, but you know what I mean.
Well, I suppose every 10-15 mile radius, they would have had their district. So there would have been a rural midwife for each one of those districts areas. And they would have had a bike. Some walked, some had a bike. And in later times, some had cars, some of the more well-off. But if they were lucky, they would have got a horse and cart or would come and pick them up.
Right, okay.
When they were called, you know.
And I suppose it would have been a thing where everybody would know who the local midwife was and, you know, they'd go and seek her out when they needed her.
She lived among the people, just the same as your postmaster or your shopkeeper or the undertaker. They would have known her. She would have delivered their mothers, their aunts, their sisters. You know, she would have been very familiar and a warm face that they would have trusted coming in to have them in a very, very vulnerable time
this
period.
How well equipped would they have been in those days?
Not very well equipped. It'd be basic enough, but they would have had the skills to taught, I suppose, to save the life of the mother and the baby as much as they could. They would have had their little midwifery bag, and that alone, there was plenty of stories about the bag. As you could imagine, the children all thought the babies came in the bag with the midwife. But they would have had I suppose forceps and sutures and just very, very basic stuff. A lot of it was gut instinct with them. And I mean, they did face poverty. They did face fear because they did understand, as Bina Kelly said in one of her interviews in 1983, she said, "I didn't know what I was facing." She said, "I wonder will the children have their mother when I'm done." You know, this was a very stark reality for them.
Because an awful lot of the women they were probably going to see were, you know, it wasn't two or three and we'll leave it there. They were huge families.
No, it was huge families. And with every pregnancy comes a risk then of bleeding, you know. And not even that, if they survived the birth, they still had a high chance. I know I did a research there and it was huge percentage for sepsis. So they would have purplish sepsis. So they would have got infection after the delivery, which couldn't be helped. And it could have been up to 3 weeks or a month later that the mother would have died.
Yeah.
And this was just basic hygiene, really, you know, because as we all know, hand hygiene now with COVID is very prevalent for us. But, I mean, hygiene wasn't, they didn't really understand germs and what they're only really getting into it there in the 1900s, 1920s, starting to understand where infection was coming from. So, I mean, there was high risk there for both mother and baby.
Yeah. And you have a personal connection to this. You, in the course of researching this, you found out that your Was it your great-grandmother died from maternal exhaustion?
She did. Cardiac arrest.
Oh,
maternal
God.
Exhaustion. Yeah, so she was... I went up. I was only 15. I always had a love of history and heritage. And a cousin of my father met me up there. And he showed me around all the usual things that you do when you come to find family members. But he showed me the little house and where she died. And it stuck with me. I was only 15. He said she died in there breastfeeding her last baby. And... which his name was Paddy, and I met Paddy on that day. And it stuck with me, I suppose. And when I joined up with Skahana District Heritage Group here in East Galway, I did a little genealogy course, and I just said, I wonder what did she die of? So she stuck with me for that length of time. And it was then I realised when I seen it, cardiac arrest, maternal exhaustion. And I work in a maternity setting. So it really got me thinking, who was around her at the time? Who was looking after her? Was it poverty driven, or was it an underlying condition, or, you know, what was the circumstances? So I just started doing a bit of digging and researching and realised there wasn't very much written about these midwives or precursor handy women.
Yeah.
And I've really all really roller coastered from there.
Yes. And your great grandmother, how many children did she have?
She had 7 at that point. Now, I know there was a massive gap between the last girl and then her 3 sons then that came afterwards. So I would say, like any other time, there would probably be miscarriages and all that in between, but none of those would be registered during that period.
Yeah.
So I say there was probably more.
Yeah. And the community midwife, would they be covering a lot of ground?
They could be covering up to 15 miles. And rain, hail, snow, whenever they were called, they had to go. And... And they did their duty, and they always did it with kindness. I haven't heard of any angry midwife yet. Perhaps there was one, but I haven't come across one. They knew these women were in dire circumstances, and they knew this face was going to get them through this whole delivery and process, I suppose. Yeah. It was a huge area they had to cover.
Yeah, and then from the 1940s on, was the kind of community, was it phased out a little bit?
I suppose the hospital started appearing then, you know, and then they would have had more antenatal care, and then I suppose obs and gynae started coming into it then, you know, a little bit more. So it probably was phased out. I know Portiuncle, where I work, was built in the 1940s, so and I think it was 1950s kind of roughly when their local community midwife kind of started phasing off. So now the midwife's clinic in Portiuncle are starting to hopefully drive back this community feel for women. So they're trying to get the same faces with the women when they come to their antenatal classes and show them around the hospital and get them familiar with the labour wards and stuff, and just try and bring that familiarity back to them and save space and help them through their pregnancy and birth, really, as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. Emma, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Emma Laffey there, curator of that exhibition in the Museum of Country Life in Castlebar. She's also works, as you heard there, in Portiuncle Hospital.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Kelly Clarkson here to let y'all know that it's the holidays at Wayfair. I love this time of year, y'all. It's always filled with friends and family around the dinner table, holiday traditions, and my favorite, cozy time spent at home. Wayfair is your one-stop holiday shop this season, regardless if you're throwing a party for people and it's all the decor, or if you need to find that perfect gift for someone you love. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to get your home holiday ready.
Wayfair, every style, every home.